knowing that would provoke Eisner. But he brought it up again. So did Iger. Finally, Braun said he thought it was tasteless. Audiences will love it, Eisner insisted. Who cares what the critics say? More calls and emails ensued, with Iger continuing to weigh in on behalf of Eisner's idea. Finally, Braun wrote, I cannot endorse this. This prompted Iger to accuse Braun of being insubordinate in an email that was copied to numerous people involved in the show. Eisner himself was also furious and summoned Braun and Lynn to his office to confront the matter. Iger was out of town, so he participated by phone. Both Braun and Lynn were feeling emotionally drained from Ritter's death and its aftermath. Lynn took the lead, trying to sidestep the issue of whether the idea was exploitative of a tragic situation. Eisner had already told them he thought that objection was ridiculous. She pointed out that if Kate were pregnant, she'd be getting bigger and bigger during the season. The writers couldn't introduce another love interest. They couldn't have a pregnant mother dating. And it would shift the focus of the show away from the teenage girls to the mother and baby, which was a totally different show. But the more she talked, the angrier Eisner became. You just don't get it, he yelled. He was scathing, attacking Braun and Lynn as elitists, saying both lacked the common touch. You're not TV people, he said contemptuously. Braun shot back, saying pregnancy was a terrible idea and in terrible taste. Finally, Eisner screamed at Braun, You're a creative wimp! Oh, really? Braun shouted back. Why is that? Is it because I have the guts to disagree with you? What if I'm right? Maybe I'm saving your ass. Suddenly, there was silence. Eisner looked like he might explode, his eyes bulging. Lynn and Braun had heard reports of Eisner's explosive temper, but they'd never experienced it firsthand and had discounted them as exaggerations. Until now. Finally, Braun got up and put on his jacket. Eisner collected himself, but there was no point in continuing the meeting. As they walked out into the corridor, Braun confided in Lynn. Let me tell you, I am not going to do something that I find morally reprehensible to keep this job. If this means I'm gone, then I'm gone. On September 11, 2003, the same day as Ritter's death, it fell to Angela Shapiro and the Family Channel's new head of finance, Reynaldo Del Valle, to present the financial numbers for the channel, which were little short of disastrous. Shapiro did her best to emphasize the good news, and there was genuine progress to report. By the upfront presentations to advertisers that spring, she and her staff had been able to introduce a total of 300 hours of original programming. Despite the family name, she had been gradually skewing the programming toward women aged 18 to 34 with more romantic comedies. The channel was actually getting better ratings than MTV with an afternoon block aimed at teenage girls. But it was awkward. During the presentations, a reporter had asked how the new programming fit the family label. Well, I call it kind of family, but not the traditional family, if you know what I mean, Shapiro said. What else could she say? Not the truth, that it made no sense, but she was carrying out orders.